Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Oh, so excited for this Sunday. This is something it's been stewing and brewing and whatever you want to call it for the last 6 months. So there's just, you know, when you got something that sits for a long time, a word that sits for a long time, I wish I could just go like, bleh, and like you guys would just get it all. But hopefully I will be able to articulate what I really believe is a timely word, not because what I'm going to say is so profound, but because I really believe there's something very significant in this season, in this place, season being not just summer, not just pre-summer, spring or whatever, but this season, a spiritual season where I really believe God wants to do something significant in your life and in us corporately as a church. This isn't just another series. And sometimes when something God puts a word in your heart, sometimes it's hard to articulate. And as I said, I hope I can get it all out. But more than what I say, I hope you will lean in and lean into God in a way in this season, in this over the next several weeks as we're going through this series, and lean in a way that you will be able to receive the impartation that I really believe God wants to bring to your life, that God wants to release fresh power, fresh faith, fresh freedom. And as we're going, just right at the start, I just want to say this series is not just a series for family. Sometimes you hear a word like legacy and you think, well, my kids are already grown, or I've never had kids, or I don't plan on having children, or I'm 13 years old. The farthest thing from my brain is kids. Don't even talk to me about it. You know, or maybe you're single and you're still deciding, you know, I don't know. Am I going to be married? Am I going to live as a single for the rest of my life? Which is a powerful calling, let me just say that. But this is a series for every single one of us. Because everyone say, it's for me. It's for me. This is for everyone because we all have a role to play in spiritual legacy. And so I just want to pray. Not that we haven't had great prayer before, but I need to pray for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I just thank you that you are here. God, I thank you that every person here in this room, Father, those that are tuning in, that will be watching online, God, I thank you that there is, Father, it's a significant thing that you've drawn them here today, that they'll be listening to the word, that, God, not just my words, but God, I pray that you would speak supernaturally into hearts and minds, and God, you would bring a revelation of, God, your plan and your purpose to and through us. God, we just invite you here to come. Can you just pray this with me? Say, Holy Spirit, would you transform my heart with your word and your presence today? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with a story. I no longer want to be considered a Christian. My dad wrote in a letter to himself at age 19. It was 1962. Having become disillusioned with the Mennonite faith he'd been raised in, a religious version of what he thought was Christianity, he was done. He'd run away from home at age 15. He drove 320 kilometers on his bike. That's how bad he wanted to get away from home. And he never moved back. His heart was ever restless. By the time he was 20, he dated 64 different girls. My dad was a ladies' man. I would have never thought that. This is from a memoir he wrote in the last years of his life. This is hilarious. Oh, my. He was a ladies' man, but he was also very smart in another way. Growing up during the Cold War, he was a mathematician who'd been rejected by the Navy because of his eyesight. But he had dreams of a lifetime career in missiles and submarines, his words. He ended up becoming a math teacher. July 31st, 1965, he met a girl who stole his heart. This is what he said. It seems that we've created a vacuum in each other that nothing can fill except the other person. He was a bit of a romantic, too. But she carried her own pain. She was raised in an alcoholic home, recently heartbroken from a broken engagement to a military man. She was also disillusioned with her Mennonite roots, that she'd recently joined the Catholic Church, which at the time was experiencing early seeds of renewal. If any of you watch the Jesus Revolution, this is all about that time. Within 5 months, they were married. A spiritual hunger began to grow in them. They tried reading the Bible but didn't get anything out of it. Someone had given them a book that was talking about this move of God that was taking place in the Catholic Church. And my dad, it took him a long time to read it, but when he finally read it, he found out there on the back, he was very curious, and there was a number that he was connected to a group that was having Bible studies in their house. And so they'd heard about these Catholics that were having weekly prayer meetings. It was about an hour's drive away, so they decided to check it out. What they encountered was about 50 to 60 students and adults praying and praising and worshiping God in such a tangible sense of God's Spirit. It filled the longing in their hearts. They returned two more times, and on their third visit, had a personal encounter with the living God and were filled with the Spirit and were forever changed. My dad recalls, in his words, having a sense of peace. My mom described it as being saved for the first time. This was their words. It was the beginning of a new chapter in our lives, one that saw miracles the very next day. My brother's eye had been suffering from some kind of ailment, and it was completely, my mom had gone to bed that night, and she believed she heard God speak for the first time, said, I'm going to heal Bruce's eye. And she woke up the next morning, it's completely cleared. It was never a problem again. But there were miracles after miracles, including money that came in that was $20 more than what was needed to buy a flight to come to Fort McMurray for an interview. And they were getting ready to leave everything behind. And they had, it was down to the hour. They had somebody stop at their house, said, here's some money. Our small group took an offering. This is for your flight to Canada. And so that was involved in a big move to northern Alberta, Canada in 1974 to a city that at the time was not even on the map. There were maps where Fort McMurray was not listed. But it's there that eventually a church would grow out of the weekly Bible study held in their home. From there, they would go on to pastor in different places. They did mission trips. My dad snuck into Cuba, probably over 10 years, probably sometimes twice a year going into Cuba, and they'd have to drive to Toronto and use their Canadian passports to fly to Cuba because the U.S., it was illegal. But here I am today, and this church is also a product of two people making the decision to fully surrender their lives to Jesus Christ and to pass on that legacy to their kids. Spiritual legacy. Now, spiritual legacy doesn't mean your kids are going to go on and you're going to start a church, your kids are going to become pastors or ministers. A spiritual legacy has to do with what we pass on of what we have experienced of the living God for ourselves. And that is something every single one of us, regardless of the biological humans that come from your body, this is a legacy. This is something every single one of us can pass on. And this is what this series, Legacy, the power of generational momentum. Can you just say that? The power of generational momentum. The power of generational momentum. See, too often today, the negatives of what generationally gets passed on is what's highlighted. Too often, it's the generational curses. The stories of pain and brokenness that just keep cycling through the generations. It could be addiction. It could be broken marriages. It could be every single, none of us graduated from high school. All of us got pregnant before we were married. It could be cycles of poverty. It could be cycles of abuse. It could be cycles of rejection. Or it could even be good cycles. of really good, we're just a family line of success and power and wealth and prestige, but it's empty. There's no eternal value. And along with these negative, along with these generational garbage that gets passed on, there's also something, and this is, can be kind of sobering. There's a generational theory that goes something like this. The first generation works hard to get out of poverty. The second generation enjoys the blessings. The third generation takes the blessings for granted. And by the fourth generation, the blessing is completely lost. Unfortunately, that happens way too often, even in regards to faith. The first generation experiences salvation, and they work really hard to get free and to leave all of the brokenness, leave all of the pain, leave all of the family garbage. And it's just like, I am not raising my kids that way. And so the second generation now enjoys the blessings of faith. In a lot of ways, I am a second generation person. I enjoyed the blessings of not having to grow up in an alcoholic home like my mom did. I enjoyed the blessings of not having to grow up in a dark home in a lot of other ways on my dad's side, where there was things that took place in the family that were wrong. And so I got to experience the blessing of it. Yes, there were things that drove me nuts about my mom and dad. I couldn't listen to rock music, but I did anyway. I'd sneak my radio, turn it on, and I'd turn it off as soon as I heard my dad coming upstairs in my bedroom. What are you listening to? Nothing. I got really upset with his very strong standards for dating. Now I know why. Now I know. It's just like, oh, you really did know all of those guys because you were that guy, Dad. Like, this would have helped a lot to know this when I was a young person instead of finding it out. I think it was about 12 or 15 years ago when he started writing this out and sent it to us. I'm like, Dad, I laughed. 64. By the time he's 20. That is not normal. That is not normal, especially for a Mennonite boy. But the first generation experiences salvation, works hard to get free. The second generation enjoys the blessings of faith. The third generation can take it for granted. And by the fourth generation, the faith is lost. Or it's now we just show up to church because that's what we do. Sad to say, I kind of think that's where my dad and mom had grown up in. And all of a sudden, the fourth generation ends up back where the first generation started, in bondage, hangups, and an empty soul. That's the bad news. But the good news, and this is what this series is all about. See, the good news is that these patterns and cycles do not, these negative patterns and negative cycles do not need to continue. They don't have to be passed down. We don't have to go the way of the generational theory that by the fourth generation, it's all lost, or even sooner. By faith, by being intentional, we can begin sowing for generational momentum. And I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot more appealing than just kind of letting things hope for the best and letting things take a slide and trying to think, well, maybe, you know, we're kind of bringing them to church. That's pretty well. You know, this is going to, hopefully it's going to do things. You know what? There was a study done over a period of about 10 to 11 years, and it was by a professor who was studying the effects of religion in young people. And young people, how many of them carried on their adult faith into their adult life? And how many kept on with the faith? Here's what they found. 82% went on to carry on the faith that they've been raised in, and it became their adult personal faith, with this condition. It hinged on the parents talking about, living, and giving physical expression to their faith in the home. We go to church as a family together. We read our Bibles together. We pray together. The faith was passed on 82%. That's huge. See, when you get saved, it was to save generations. How many apples do I have? You know, thousands. Because the seeds in this apple, when planted and nurtured and cared for, will produce trees that will produce over and over and over again. And see what God does when he saw you, when one in a family says yes to Jesus, God's intention in getting at one, it's like in the book of Acts where Peter was speaking to, I think it was the jailer. It was Paul speaking to the jailer. And he said, you and your whole household will be saved. See, when you got saved, when you said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, it wasn't just you, one apple God saw. God sees the seeds of his life, the seeds that are going to come through you, the generational legacy, the generational momentum, the spiritual legacy of faith that's going to come through you. That's what God sees, and he gets a hold of the one in the family that is like, okay, I think this one's just stubborn enough, and this one has got a soft enough heart, and this one is going to be hard, but I think they can do it. And again, this is the one to bring, God sees the one that will bring a new line of faith, a new storyline into the broken storylines, and start a brand new line of faith. And again, this is not just about biological kids. This is about the young people that you will influence. This is about someone else's kids. You're teaching in preschool, you're teaching in Voltage, or you're loving them in the nursery, or you're maybe the neighbor kids down the street that you're just reaching out to, or your nieces, or your nephews, that you are passing on a spiritual legacy to. See, generational things become nearly impossible to stop. And we see this pattern all throughout Scripture. And you got to think in threes. Everyone said three. You think in threes. 14 times in just the Old Testament, there is this phrase that talks about God's covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After Jacob is in the line, it is very rare that you read about just one of them together, just one of them alone. It's almost always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Exodus 3:15, God said to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is my name forever. And by this name, I am to be remembered to all generations. Even Jesus referred to it. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Acts, again, they're preaching. Peter's preaching. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers. Acts 2:17, here's a different kind of triple. It talks about your sons and daughters, young men and old men. Generations, again. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. 1 John 2:13 talks about fathers, young men, and children. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Joel 1:3, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children the next generation. See, when you establish, this is the counteraction to this generational theory of first generation experiences a blessing, second one takes it for granted, enjoys it, third takes it for granted, fourth leaves it. This is the counter to this. See, God's plan was that to establish generational salvation, generational momentum through salvation. And his plan was if you can get salvation through a lineage of up to four times, of four generations, and not just attending church, I'm talking about passionately loving and serving and a vibrant faith that is alive. You are a living follower of Jesus Christ. When you get that within four generations, if you can get that down to generation, second generation, and they not just enjoy the blessings of it, but it becomes their own personal faith, and you can get that down to the next generation, the third generation, where they're not just taking the legacy of freedom and the legacy of faith and the legacy of power and the legacy of the peace of God and the joy of God and the provision of God and the miracles of God. If you can get that into the third generation where they are not taking that for granted, by the time it gets to the fourth generation, it is almost impossible to stop. It becomes harder to not follow God than it is to follow Him. And again, this is not about we show up to church because that's what good people do. I'm talking about power. I'm talking about a vibrant faith with the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about the power of faith that will affect change in our world, because it's not just about us trying to get free. We are now free and living in the love of God that we can do something in our world. We can bring hope. We can bring freedom. I wonder if you would do something with me. I want us to get a picture of what the church looks like right now. If you are a first generation Christian, in other words, when you received Christ, when you gave your life to Christ, your parents were not Christians. Maybe they got saved after you or got saved at the same time as you. And again, I'm not talking about my family went to church. I'm like, if you don't know if your parents were saved, then stand up as a first-generation Christian. If that relates to you, would you stand up? If you were a first-generation Christian, that's powerful. Yes! Way to go! Thank you! Thank you for saying, no, stand up a minute. Just stand up a minute. This is pretty cool. If you're a first-generation Christian, stand up again. You are a first-generation Christian. How cool is this? You are the tough ones. You are the fighters. And I just even want to speak over you a supernatural resilience. God, that you would empower these in every stage of life to be resilient, to not give up, to stand the ground, to keep fighting. God, what they still need to get breakthrough in. My mom was fighting to get breakthrough well into her 50s. She never stopped. Thank you for saying yes and for fighting. Okay, have a seat. Second generation Christians. Your parents were saved. Again, not just attending church, but they were genuine followers of Jesus. You want to stand up, but your grandparents weren't Christians. Your second generation. Okay, that would be me. Very cool. Thank you. You know what? We're going to go over to the specifics. The fight of each generation has a very unique fight, and we're going to go over that in a few weeks. But you are the bridge. Thank you for not losing faith. Thank you for keeping the bridge, for strengthening it. How many of you know battles are fought and won over bridges? Okay, I want you to have a seat. Third generation. Your parents and your grandparents are Christians. Would you please stand? Third generation. Your parents and grandparents are Christians. Look at this. Look at this. How powerful this is. You have no idea the power that is in you. You have no idea how lethal, how explosive the power of God is in you right now because of what you carry in your heritage and your lineage. How powerful is that? It is explosive. And it is an explosive power to continue to put down into the generations, both physically and the spiritual generations of people you will influence. This is a powerful thing. This is how we affect change in the world. This is not meant for this room. This is meant to be a starting point so that as the church together, all of these succeeding generations together, we can do something effective. See, this is what the power is meant to be. It's not so that the church can be a happy, clappy place. The church is not an entertainment center. It's a destiny center. It is a place where you come and encounter your destiny. And we need these generations. Thank you. You can have a seat. See, the plan was for the church to get stronger through the generations. Psalm 145, starting in verse 4, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. I will speak of your splendor and glorious majesty and your wondrous works. They will proclaim the power of your awe-inspiring acts, and I will declare your greatness. They will give a testimony of your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness. See, what is the role of generations? It's declaring the works of God, how good he is, the small miracles. I remember my mom would be so, like, this is what God did. This is what God did. I remember one day, we needed money. I think it was for rent. This is when we were in Fort McMurray. I remember one day she gets, this is again 1975-ish, 6-ish. So you can do the math in terms of how much the value would be today, because it won't sound like a lot, but it was. The doorbell rang. This is when they still delivered mail to your door at the little mailbox. The mailman, he gave her a registered letter. She'd never received one in her life. She's like, what's this? He goes, you got to sign for it. She's like, okay. And it was a woman that she had discipled in part of their church. Had moved away. And at that time, again, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it was at that time. There was a check for $500. And it came a very lean time financially for them. But proclaiming those works, I remember it right away. She said, this is what God did. This is what God has done. This is what we proclaim. Psalm 22:30, our children will also serve him. Some of you need to take this and grab a hold of it. Put it on a sticky note and stick it on your mirror. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. Psalm 78, 2-7. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak of mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our ancestors have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children. The psalmist recognized that my kids aren't my kids. My kids are a stewardship that have been given from previous generations that I have been entrusted with to pass down the power and the majesty and the goodness of God and his works. I will not hide them from their children, but I will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and the wondrous works he has performed. We need to talk about what God has done, church. We need to talk about what God has done, not how good we are and, oh, I got a great job and I got this and I got that. It's like, no, God gave that. God gave that. We proclaim his works so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know him and rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works but keep his commands. When my mom and dad did this, it drove me nuts. I was just like, yeah, whatever. Don't let an attitude from your child cause you to stop declaring how good God is. Product number one. Imagine the momentum. Again, imagine the momentum that would build to effect real change in our world. If there was no starting over in the generations. No starting over of faith. No starting over of purity. No starting over of living free, no starting over of dealing with the mental stuff, no starting over of having to fight through and break off anxiety again or depression again. And like I said, in a few weeks, I'm going to show you how to fight so that stuff can get left behind and we don't pass it on. But imagine if we didn't have to start over with faith and devotion and biblical values, but instead one generation builds on a platform for the next. Can you imagine what the church could be like, what the church could do, how the world might be different if our ceiling, the stuff that was limiting us, became the platform, the foundation for the next generations? I think we're just going to have keys. We're good. Just keys. Thanks, guys. There is a battle for generation momentum, and some of you are feeling it. Some of you know this. Some of you are in the thick of it right now. It's a battle in the form of marriage conflicts. It's a battle in the form of your kids, your grandkids, not wanting anything to do with faith or church. It's easier to get them excited about going to their activities than it is to get them to come to church. Some of you, it's health challenges or financial challenges or the struggle to stay pure or make wise choices or say no to the toxicity. Some of you, it's an upheaval in friendships or even your kids' friendships. Some of it's your Christian parents are making really dumb choices. Or your Christian parents, their faith is wavering. None of these are isolated. None of these are simply about personal battles or personal problems or personal things they're working through. These are about the battle to continue generational momentum, to build generational momentum, to continue a spiritual legacy, or maybe establish a legacy for the first time. The question is, will you fight to build and sustain generational momentum? Will you resist the pull to drift? Because let me tell you, man, drifting will feel really good. Because sometimes the fight is intense. I can remember so many hours, you know, when our son got, he knows, he's shared his story, and I love you, Kaylin. But man, he was a third generation Jacob that needed some fighting. So many hours. So many hours of prayer, so many hours of God weeping. And I don't say that. Caitlin, do not feel guilty. He doesn't. But man, the fight was intense. And it sure would have been easy to just say, oh, he'll figure it out. Parents, that is the worst thing you could ever say. They'll figure it out. You gotta pray. You got to stand. You got to drive a stake in the ground, and you got to say no. As for me and my house, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Psalm 22, our children will also serve him, and future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. Will you fight to build and sustain generational momentum? The devil doesn't need to destroy you. He just needs to contain you. And by containing you, it means this. In other words, he just needs to contain the work of God in you. In other words, if he can't derail you in your faith, it's just like, I'm not going to deconstruct and go off the rails and I don't believe in God. He can't derail you that way. If he can't derail you in character, in other words, no, I'm going to remain pure. I'm going to be a character. I'm going to be a man and woman of integrity. I'm going to live as an example and a reflection of God. If he can't derail you that way, you know how he will derail you? He will derail you by trying to just relegate what God has done in you to just stay in you. It's contained. But we need a brighter, longer, wider perspective. 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. If you are one, yes, we have to have a bigger and a broader vision. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who have loved him. And if this is a commitment that you are ready to say, I am putting a stake in the ground for the generations, not just the biological generations, but any kid I have influence with, any person I might have influence with, I am ready to put a stake in the ground, and this is going to carry on. I want to build generational momentum. I want to invite you to stand. Online, I want to invite you to make a position. Whatever that posture is, maybe closing your eyes, maybe just taking a moment and just saying, yes, God, this is me. I want to challenge us, man, live in a way that your great, great grandkids know who you are. Not because of some monument in this world that you built, some massive business, some great claim to fame, but because of the spiritual heritage. When you get to heaven, how many great, 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 great grandkids or great, 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 great grandnieces or great, 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 great grandnephews will know your name because of what the legacy that came through you and what you were continuing to pass down. Can we raise our hands? God, we need you. Let's just pray that. Say, God, we need you. God, we need you. I need you. God, I want to be one that passes on well what I have received. In Jesus' name, I declare that the generations naturally and spiritually that come through me, they will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray. I want to pray for those. We're going to say a prayer together. And there's a few other things. I know we're going over, but there's a few other things I want to speak to. But first, I want us to all, we're going to pray a prayer. And I recognize there are some here. Today is a day of salvation for you. It might be, maybe you recognize you were a second generation or a third generation, or you might be the first in your family line to say yes. This is the most incredible day for you. You watching online, this is an incredible day for you. And you got to know all heaven is cheering you on. But I want us to pray this prayer. It's a prayer saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I give my life. I surrender to you. Let's pray this, everyone, church and online. I want to invite you to pray together. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you have done, for dying on the cross and rising again so that my sins could be wiped away and I can have a new start. I say yes to this gift. God, help me to live it and pass it on well. Thank you, Jesus, for a new start today. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give God praise. Let's give him thanks. God, thank you. God, thank you. And there's three groups, but there's four things I want to speak to before we go. Here's how to respond. If you are a parent, grandparent, or have young people in your life, sign up for the parenting workshop. Like, just do it. This material is some of the best you are going to get. It is not stuff that's going to make you feel guilty if, oh, we blew it and our kids are already old. How can we do anything? No, this will encourage you. You will feel encouraged by this. This is about principles, and some of this will be different than any other parenting stuff. And if you're, yeah, anyway, sign up, June 22nd. But I want to speak, there's three different groups of people I want to speak to. Number one, I want to speak a word of hope to those of you who see, all you see when you look at your family line, your family that was raised in church, or you raised them right, but they are not walking with Jesus. And you look at the brokenness, and you look at the hopelessness in your family, and you think, what do I have to give to anybody else? Look at my mess. I want to read you 1 Samuel 8:3. If you don't know who Samuel was, he was a prophet in the Bible. And he was an important mentor and voice in David's life. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel 8:3. Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. This isn't if we don't just wave our magic wand and follow all these principles and it's a guaranteed everything's going to be perfect. That's not what it is at all. But Samuel, he could have said, oh, my sons, what use am I? Look at my sons, they're not serving God. But there was a David that Samuel was absolutely necessary to see, to anoint, to be king, and then mentor him through his life. God wants to speak hope. There are Davids. For some of you, for you Samuels, if you will lean into and receive faith, God, do something fresh and new through me. What more, wow, what, how powerful to pass on wisdom from what maybe we learned too late in life. The second group are those that are at transitions or you're making decisions, especially relationship decisions. Get wisdom and counsel, not from your single friends or from others who have relationships that have been challenged. Get wisdom from people that have run and have been married for 50 years, 55 years. I think my parents, before they passed away, I think it was their 55th wedding anniversary that year they celebrated. No, it was more than that. Yeah, 55. But be wise in those decisions. Your decisions will have generational impact. And number three, the group, you have been faithful, but you have not seen the fruit. Whatever generation that represents, you are praying for family, you're praying for loved ones to come to know, you have not seen the fruit. Do not give up. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for at the right time you will reap if you do not. In the Amplified, it says, if you do not let go and relax your courage, you hang on. It's time to dream new dreams. One more final prayer. Can I just pray for the groups? If any of those groups relate to you, I'm going to just end in one final prayer, and then I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. You want to just lift your hand? I would love to just pray for you if that relates to you, any of those groups that I mentioned. God, I pray. God, I just speak hope to be released. God, hope to begin to see again. God, hope to see the Davids that you're going to bring into, Father, proximity of our lives. And God, I pray for wisdom for those that are in transition periods of life. Father, whether it's relational decisions that they're facing, or even just decisions about their life, what they're going to do, where they're called, what they're going to do for school, or what's going to happen next. God, that you would give wisdom about the generational calling on their life. And God, I just pray that you would just renew the perseverance and the strength, Father, of those that have not yet seen the fruit. God, you are a faithful God, and we agree, Father, even over this, Father, these next several weeks, God, I pray that there would be such a download of faith that would result in, God, new passionate prayers, new dreams coming alive. In Acts 2, it said, your old man will dream dreams. God, I pray for some new dreams to come alive, Father, in those that are, Father, maybe whatever category you think you're in, old man or not, but God, I pray, God, that you would bring new dreams alive. In Jesus' name.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.